Thank you. Kira, do you want to come and join me? Kira's going to read us God's Word. She's going to read it from the Message version, but we're still going to use the Bible, okay? So if you've got a Bible app, I might want to just turn this down a little bit, mate, because I'm a little bit boomy. We're going to look at John 20:1-18, all right? So Kira's going to read it to us. It might not look the same in your version of the Bible you've got on your app. You can change it to Message. Kira, thank you.
So as Rick said, the reading this morning is from John chapter 20, verses 1 to 18, and I'm going to read from the Message. Resurrection. Early in the morning, on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone was moved from the entrance. She ran at once to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, breathlessly panting, "They took the master from the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." Peter and the other disciple left immediately for the tomb. They ran neck and neck. The other disciple got to the tomb first, outrunning Peter. Stooping to look in, he saw the pieces of the linen cloth lying there, but he didn't go in. Simon Peter arrived after him, entered the tomb. He observed the linen cloths lying there, and the kerchief used to cover his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but separate, neatly folded by itself. Then the other disciple, the one who had gotten there first, went into the tomb, took one look at the evidence, and believed. No one yet knew from the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. The disciples then went back home. But Mary stood outside the tomb, weeping. And as she wept, she knelt to look into the tomb and saw two angels sitting there, dressed in white, one at the head, and the other at the foot of where Jesus' body had been laid. They said to her, "Woman, why do you weep?" "They took my master," she said, "and I don't know where they've put him." After she said this, she turned away and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't recognize him. Jesus spoke to her, "Woman, why do you weep? Who are you looking for?" She, thinking he was the gardener, said, "Mister, if you took him, tell me where you've put him so I can care for him." Jesus said, "Mary." Turning to face him, she said in Hebrew, "Rabboni," meaning teacher. Jesus said, "Don't cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go to my brothers and tell them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went, telling the news to the disciples. "I saw the Master," she said, and told them everything he said to her.
Amen. Great. Hey, everybody. I'm Rick. I oversee the youth and kids ministry, and I've been drinking coffee since 6:30 this morning. So here we go. He's alive, everybody. Like, we've been saying it, but he really is alive. Like, we got it. It's an exciting day for me. Like, new life has sprung and into action. And from the despair of Good Friday, which doesn't sound good at all, because death overcame, it seemed. But then on Easter Sunday morning, Jesus is alive. Hope has returned. What was despair is now hope. A friend of mine put this on Facebook yesterday. "Easter Saturday is my re-birthday, when I said yes to following Jesus. I didn't fully understand what that meant, but it was the best decision I've ever made. True fact." I wonder, on Easter Sunday in 2018, how are your hope levels? When I read that from my friend, I could sense that his hope was rising. How are yours? You see, because when we encounter Jesus, there is a massive change that goes on in us. We don't always fully understand it. We don't grasp it. When I was 11 years old and I stood up at a conference and I said yes to following Jesus, did I know everything I was letting myself in for? No. Am I glad I made that decision? Yes. Why? Because Jesus is the hope that this nation, this world, this whole entire universe needs. Because he came to die for your sins, for my sins, so that I could then live eternally with him. John 3:16, one of the most famous verses in Scripture. So, Mary's encounter with Jesus. She's gone in the dark. It's not good light, but she's noticed that the stone has moved. She runs and she goes to find two of Jesus' closest friends. At this point, the disciples have run away. They're in hiding. And so, she finds them and she tells them what's gone on, and they leg it to the tomb. There's a bit of a sports race going on between Peter and John, and John gets there first, and he's very clear that he got there first if you reread your reading. And then Peter barges straight in. John waits. And then they return, but Mary is left alone, looking at an empty tomb. Life seems to have come to an end. What is the point to all of this? And then she sees something happen in the tomb. Two angels appear where Jesus' body was laying. She is crying. How do we know? Because the next question that comes from the angels is, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she responds with this: "I am weeping. They've taken my Lord away. I don't know where they have put him." Her voice, her whole being just seems like, what is the point? Where have they taken the body? And then she turns. I came across this. It's a pet adoption advertising agency. Advertising to adopt a pet. What do you see? Hands up if you see a dog or an animal creature. Hands up if you see a baby. Hands up if you see a woman and a man. Hands up if you don't see any of those things at all and you're like, what on earth is going on? Thanks, Jess. If we click on one more, Harry, the light, I've just tried to get it a bit brighter for you. But you can see a baby at the bottom. You can see a woman over the top. And then you can see a man looking into the child's eyes. And then the shape that they make is the shape of a dog, or supposedly. Maybe in Mumbai they look a little bit different. It was very interesting when we put that on. You went, there was a number of, oh, I get it now. Because if you go back one, Harry, it's dark. It's dingy. We don't quite get it. We think we see what we see, but we don't see what we see because it's not until the light comes on it that we see what we see. And at the point when Mary turns to Jesus, she doesn't realize it's him. Why? Because she turns to him and she thinks it's the gardener. Now, maybe it's because her eyes are just covered in tears or whatever it is, but she thinks it's the gardener. But in fact, it's not. And she is asked the same question that the angels asked by the person she is looking for. Why are you crying? And she tells the person that she is looking for the answer to the question that she's trying to find the answer to. Sounds very complicated, but I've probably made it worse than it actually is. The reality is that Mary was looking straight at Jesus, but she couldn't see him. What was the point that made the light switched on? Jesus said, "Mary." That was it. At that point, from pain and loss and abandonment, the world completely changes for Mary. She is overcome. She is restored. She is filled with joy. And she shouts, "Teacher!" at the top of her voice. You know, in many other of the events that happen after this reading in John's Gospel and in other parts of the Bible, Jesus comes across, but he's not obviously him. The road to Emmaus, if we've heard that story from our primary school days. And Jesus goes on a walk with two of his disciples, and they don't realize it's him until he breaks the bread. It's not until he appears in a room where everybody thinks that the doors are locked and he goes, "Peace be with you," that then all of a sudden they go, "Oh, where did you appear from?" It's not until Jesus says, "Mary," that Mary sees all that she is looking for. Do we always see what we're looking for? Thank you. Perfect. Do we see it? Because when we meet Jesus and we have an encounter with Jesus, something changes inside of us. Hope comes from what was despair. Joy comes from what was pain. Does it make the situation always better? Not always. But when we see Jesus in it, it gives us hope. What do you see this morning? We are going to see people come in to the water. I'm so tempted to jump in. It's really nice and warm, by the way, those of you getting baptized. And what was old goes down and they come up and it's new life, restored life, a life that is filled with God. What's dead is dead and stays dead. But with Jesus, he rises and he brings new life. What are we seeing this morning? What are we seeing? Next one. Mary is all she hears. Now, maybe Jesus had a particular way of saying Mary. I know when I'm in trouble because I'm called Richard. Claire has a particular tone of voice, my wife. My mum, my dad have particular tones of voice when they use that. It stops me in my tracks. And I go, wait a minute, why? What have I done wrong this time? And I probably already know, really. But it got me thinking. If Jesus had a particular way of saying Mary, how often do we recognize Jesus' voice when he speaks to us? Because he does. He communicates with us. And this is what Isaiah says. Way back before even Jesus was on the planet, Isaiah 43 says this: "But now this is what the Lord says, he who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine." By Jesus saying these words to Mary, it changes something in her that means that she knows that things are going to be different and hope is restored because she is called by name. Each of us are called by name. And when we hear his voice, hope is restored. So we see it, we hear it, and then, incredibly, Jesus says, "Go." At the cross, Jesus died for your sin and my sin. When he rose again from the dead, so did my hope and your hope. And with that hope, we can't keep it in. What happens with Mary? Mary's filled with joy. She grabs hold of Jesus. My little girls at times will grab hold of my legs and I can't move anywhere. So what I imagine Mary has done, she's wanting to cling on to Jesus. But Jesus says these words: "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Then Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. The first person who meets Jesus becomes an apostle to go and tell the other apostles, who will then in fact invade the rest of the world with Jesus' message. She goes. She doesn't keep it to herself. Christianity is not something that we keep to ourselves. If that was what we wanted to do, people wouldn't be getting baptized in front of all of you and getting really wet. We're called to go and to proclaim. We're called to go out and to say, this is what I've seen, this is what I've heard, and now this is for you. It's an incredible message of love and joy and hope. But we're called to go. Where are you today? Are you here and going, oh my goodness me, I didn't know they did Mr. Motivator actions in church anymore. Praise the Lord, I didn't turn up in Lycra. Are you thinking, man alive, whoa. That's okay. But this morning, do you need to see Jesus like Mary did? Do you need to turn around from what she thought was dead to see what is alive? Do you need to hear your voice, your name being spoken by the one who is risen today? Because of what he did on the cross, that sin is dealt with. Those things we think, say, do that hurt ourselves, hurt God, and hurt other people, it's dealt with because he rose again. Do you need to hear his voice? And maybe some of us, maybe we've been following Jesus since we can remember. But maybe we need to remember that we need to go and to tell people. I said this on Thursday while all the boys and girls were here from our local school. And they didn't like what I said because I went, and then I said, do you know what? Easter is way more important than Christmas. I love Christmas, but I love Easter way more. Not just because we get to eat loads of food like we do at Christmas, but because at Christmas it was a baby. At Easter, he's the Savior of the world who came for you and for me. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him will not die but have eternal life. Let's close our eyes. Mary had an encounter with Jesus. I give you an opportunity to have an encounter with Jesus. It's not magic. It's between you and him. Maybe you have been challenged or impacted by the fact that you can see Jesus, that you can hear Jesus. He came into the world to give you freedom. So, Lord, I pray now for every single person here that we will know your freedom because of what happened at the tomb. We're sorry for the things that we have done that have hurt people, hurt ourselves, and ultimately hurt you. Come and be our Savior. Rescue us. Call us by name. And help us to go. in your name. Amen.